Right, well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can find your place in the Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 16. Matthew chapter 16 this morning. And we'll be there momentarily. And of course, we're in our series here, our second session of our School of the Bible. And today we want to show that the origin of the church and when the church started. So this, what we have here, when did all this get started? I'm not talking about our particular church in particular. I'm talking about the church overall as we know it. And I want us to see this morning that that church was started by our Lord Jesus Christ. It was started by him during his earthly ministry, and that later, much later, there came religious movements. They came about, but they cannot claim to be the church Jesus started when their origin is centuries too late. And so, before we get into today's lesson, I want us to just kind of review where we were last week, and and if you know the answer, just go ahead, raise your hand, and we'll see what we retained from last week. But number one, last week we defined the church, and so that's the first question. What is the church? Anyone remember? Miss Martha?
I looked on my paper last week.
Okay, go ahead.
A called out congregation.
That is correct. Absolutely. A called out congregation. That is what the church is. It's a called out assembly. And that's what we are this morning. So question number two. Is the church a building, a denomination, or a universal invisible body? Anyone have an idea? Brother Kenny?
No, it's not a building. It's an assembly of believers.
That's right. It's none of those things. The New Testament church, as we know it, is local. And that's what we are this morning. We're the Sarah Baptist Church. It's local and it's visible. People, as they drive by, they can see and say, oh, there's First Baptist Church of Sarah. So that's what a church is. Okay, question number three. Now, even if you weren't here last week, you should be able to get this one. Who is the head of the church? Huh? What? Who is the head of the church? Anyone got an idea? Jesus. That's right. Jesus is the head of the church. Question number four. What are the church's two scriptural offices? Brother Kenny?
Pastor and deacon.
Pastor and deacon, that's right. And final question, what is the mission of the church? What is our mission? Why are we here in the grand scheme of things? Who said that? Mandy?
Lead others to
Christ. Lead others to Christ, that's right. The Great Commission. That is our purpose, is to see people trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so that's what we did last week. We defined what the church is. And so this week, we're now going to ask, well, where did it come from? You know, it's kind of like when a kid, they ask their Sunday school teacher, where did God come from? Well, he's always been. And they say, but, well, who created him? And then they ask a million questions that nobody can really answer to their satisfaction. But they have those million questions. And with the church this morning, it's a little bit easier to answer where it came from. And it's important to understand that if we get the origin wrong, if we don't know and understand where the church came from and where it started, then eventually we're going to get the identity wrong. And so you're there this morning. Matthew chapter 16, And notice there, if you would, verses 16 through 18. Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 18. The Bible says, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And so we see this morning the question of origin. And, you know, all of us here, we have our own, you know, for lack of a better term, we all have our own origin story. We all have our own where we were born and how we came into this world. And we have things throughout our life that has shaped us and made us into the people we are today, and where we are now on Sunday, May 10th, 2026. We are now where we are because of, you know, where we have come from up to this point. And so there are many ideas about where the church began. And some say that Peter was the foundation of the church. Some say that it began in the Garden of Eden. Some say that it began at Pentecost. But when we think about the origin of the church, what we need to do is make sure that we let the Bible define the church, and we must let the Bible tell us who started it. So a church is not scriptural because it has religious activity. There are many churches out there that they're busy. They're like little beehives. And they're constantly busy. There's something going on all the time. But a church is scriptural because it has scriptural origin. It has scriptural doctrine. It has scriptural authority. And so we need to begin where the Bible begins. That means that we don't begin with Rome. We don't begin with a reformer. We don't begin with a denomination. But we begin with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that's what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 16 in verse number 18, where Jesus tells Peter, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And so there's three things I want us to see this morning, or actually two things, I believe. Or no, more than two things. Number one, Jesus started his church. Jesus started his church. The first great truth is simple. Jesus started the church. Jesus started his church. The church belongs to him because the church began with him. And so this church right here, it is not mine. It is not yours. Now, when we, you know, we think, well, this is, you know, our church. And we talk about it in those type of terms. And in that essence, it is our church. But who owns it is Jesus. It's his church. It belongs to him. Again, Matthew 16, 18, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." 1 Corinthians 3, 11, the Bible says, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Colossians 1:18, "And he is the head of the body, the church, that in all things he might have the preeminence." And so Jesus here, he did not say, "I will build Peter's church." He said, "I will build my church," talking about himself. And so the foundation is not Peter. The foundation is Christ. And so Peter's confession was, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so the church is not built on the personality of Peter. It's built on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if Jesus then started his church, then we have to then ask the next natural question, and that is, well, when did it start? When did it start? And that's what we see secondly this morning. Jesus started his church during his earthly ministry. Jesus started his church during his earthly ministry. And so the Lord's church did not begin in the Garden of Eden. It did not begin with Rome. It did not begin with the Catholic Church. The church began during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before he died, before he rose again, and before what we know today as the day of Pentecost. Luke 6:13, the Bible says, "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and one of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." Matthew 18:17, "And he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church." And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. John 20:21, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And so even before Pentecost, Jesus had called disciples. He had ordained apostles, and he taught them doctrine. He gave them instruction concerning church discipline, and he commissioned them. He set them apart for the work, for his work. And so Pentecost did not give birth to the church. And that's what many churches teach, that Pentecost is where the church was born. That's not where we see the church born. Pentecost gave power to the church. And we see in the book of Acts, you read the book of Acts, it confirms this, that on Pentecost, people were not added to something that did not exist. They were added to a church already assembled. And so that's what we see thirdly this morning, is that Pentecost added to the church. It did not start the church. Pentecost added to the church and did not start the church. In fact, take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter 1, and notice there verse number 15. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 15. The Bible says, "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, The number of names together were about 120. And then go over chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and notice verse 41 and 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42. The Bible says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers." And so we see that the wording here matters, because Acts chapter 2 does not say that the church was created on this day. Acts chapter 2 does not say that the church was created on Pentecost. It says souls were added unto them. That means that they were already a congregation. They were already a church. There was already doctrine, there was already fellowship, there was already an assembly who were, to the best of their ability, they were trying with the Lord's help to follow the Lord's command. And so Pentecost, we know, we understand it. It was a mighty day. It was a powerful day. But Pentecost was not the birthday of the church. Pentecost was the public empowering and enlargement of the church. And so the Lord added to the church, but he did not invent the church on that day. And so once we know and once we understand where the church began, well, then we can start to better recognize what came later as departures and splinter groups and man-made movements. And that's what we want to see fourthly this morning, is the various splinter groups that have appeared throughout history. And from the earliest days, groups arose either out of or outside of the Lord's churches. Now, some claimed that, well, they now got a new revelation. They got a new light. We think of people like Joseph Smith and the Church of Mormonism and the Book of Mormon and these other folks that claim that they got a new revelation or a new light. Some took the truth that they had and they mixed that with error. And some tried to reform a corrupt religion. Some began entirely new systems. And the question is not whether a group uses religious language. The question we need to ask is whether it has Bible doctrine and Bible authority behind it. Galatians 1, 8 and 9, the Bible says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Jude 3, the Bible says, "Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." 2 John verse 9, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." And so, after the church was founded, you eventually had a lot of splinter groups that came and they formed. You had such as the Judaizers and Gnostics and Catholicism and the Reformation groups and Calvinists and then later Protestant groups and then Restorationist groups and then cults and then charismatic movements. And so you had all of these groups that they were a splinter of the true church. And so we see that a church cannot start centuries later and still be the church that Jesus started. And so we don't study these groups to be mean to them. We don't study these groups to talk negatively about them. But we study them to show the difference between, okay, this is Christ's church and this is a man-made religion. This is a man-made following. And it's important for us to know those things, what is true and what is false. And that's what we see fifthly this morning, is that you have, after the church started, you then had Catholicism and Protestantism, which would have started too late. So Catholicism, as we know it, developed after the New Testament pattern was corrupted. So after Christ had established his church, then later Catholicism came onto the scene, especially as religion became entangled with political power. And then on the opposite end of Catholicism, you have what is referred to as Protestants. And by its own name, they came later as a protest against Rome. And some Protestants rejected certain errors of Rome, but they did not go back far enough to the New Testament pattern. So that's why when people ask as Baptists, "Are you Protestant?" No, we are not Protestant. We are not Catholic. We are Baptist. Baptist is a whole other thing apart from being Protestant. Matthew 22:21, the Bible says, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." John 18:36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." Mark 7:7-9, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition." And so you had Catholicism, and then you had the Protestants. So you would have Lutheranism, you would have Calvinism, you would have the Anglicans, the Quakers, the Wesleyans, and these would be groups that formed after the Reformation period. And some would have reforming impulses. Some emphasize certain truths. But their origin dates are, again, they are just too far later to be the church that Jesus started. And so Reformation is not the same thing as New Testament origins. And the same test must be applied to the later groups that came after the Reformation. That's what we see, number six and finally this morning. And then that is later movements also started too late. And so after Catholicism, after the Protestants and the Lutheranisms and the Calvinists and the Anglicans and all those groups that we looked at, after that, you would now have Mormonism and the Seventh-day Adventists, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Pentecostal and the Charismatic movement. And these groups began long after the days of Christ and the apostles. That's when they started, long after Christ started his church. 1 John 4:1, the Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." Acts 17:11, "They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth." And so the issue this morning is not merely that many of these movements hold doctrinal errors. That's not the issue. The issue is also their origin. Where did they start? Where did they come from? And the simple truth of the matter this morning is they cannot trace their identity to the church Jesus started by the Sea of Galilee. They just can't do it. Their beginnings are found in later men, in later movements, in later revelations, in later visions, and later experiences. And so, if a religion needs a founder after Jesus, a revelation after the Bible, or authority outside the local church, then it is not the church that Jesus built. And so that leaves us with one final question this morning. And that is, where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us with a clear Bible line and not a man-made line. And so if we were to cast aside the doctrinal errors of these groups, which we should never do, by the way, there's still a large problem with their validity. They started too late to be considered a church that belongs to the Jesus of the Bible. And there is a doctrinal line that flows all the way back to Jesus and the shores of Galilee. And that line connects the church that Jesus started with the Bible-believing Baptist churches of today. Ephesians 3:21, the Bible says, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." And then Matthew 28:19-20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And so throughout the history, throughout the century, names may change, locations may change, enemies may nickname God's people, but the doctrine of Christ's church has not changed. And so this morning, don't simply settle for religious activity. When Christ himself offers to us the scriptural authority, do not build your faith on a man-made movement when Jesus has already built his church. Be saved, be baptized, be faithful, and be settled, be grounded in the Lord's church. And you'll never regret being faithful to the one who saved you. And let's be faithful to him this morning. Brother Kenny, would you close us in prayer this morning?